Welcome to RBC's Markets in Motion podcast, recorded March 16th, 2026. I'm Lori Calvasina, Head of U.S. Equity Strategy at RBC Capital Markets. Please listen to the end of this podcast for important disclaimers. The big things you need to know? First, in tandem with the 5% decline in the S&P 500, investor and consumer sentiment have slipped in recent updates as investors have digested the possibility of a longer conflict in Iran and consumers have started to notice higher gas prices. Second, we review our macro takeaways from RBC's Financial Institutions Conference last week, where we detected echoes of the lingering confidence and emerging concerns that are seen in the survey data as we discuss. If you'd like to hear more, here's another 5 minutes. Takeaway number one, sentiment slips for investors and consumers, but not corporates, as the S&P 500 is on the cusp of true pullback territory. As of Friday's close, the S&P 500 was down 4.96% from its January peak, on the cusp of what we'd consider to be true pullback territory, 5 to 10%, but close to where the brief period of weakness that emerged last October and November bottomed out at, a drop of 5.1%. As the week wore on, it appeared to us that the prospect of a longer conflict emerged as a more realistic possibility. Before the war started, we viewed the angst in the U.S. equity market as a sentiment unwind, and we've been keeping a close eye on various gauges. Let's start with investor sentiment, which fell last week. In contrast to the prior week when optimism rose slightly, reflecting views a few days after the Iran strikes, net bulls eased in last week's AAII survey, which was captured midweek. As of March 12th, net bulls were at -14.5% on the weekly update, a deterioration versus the prior week's -2.4%, and it was -6.5% on the four-week average, which was down from -2.8% the prior week. The four-week average is currently between average and one standard deviation below the long-term average, but just barely, a level that has on average been followed by a gain of 10.8% in the S&P 500 on a 12-month forward basis. But the four-week average is starting to get close to the minus one standard deviation mark, which would take our model into a range consistent with a plus 15% 12-month forward S&P 500 return should it fall below that level but stay above the minus two standard deviation mark. Overall, what we're seeing at the moment on the AAII model is that sentiment made some important progress toward one potentially oversold threshold last week, but isn't there quite yet. Meanwhile, for consumers, the University of Michigan reported a small decline in its headline sentiment index in the March 2026 preliminary reading. According to their press release, the survey was conducted February 17th to March 9th, with about half completed after the start of the conflict in Iran. The press release noted interviews completed prior to military action in Iran showed an improvement in sentiment from last month, but lower readings seen during the 9 days thereafter completely erased those initial gains. The press release also highlighted the impact of gas prices. As we reviewed the data, we noticed that sentiment deteriorated for the highest and middle income brackets, but improved for the lowest income bracket. Bad news since this cohort may be most at risk from a further increase in gas prices. On the broader sentiment index, even with the recent slippage, however, for now the index still appears to be stabilizing around the 2022 lows. On the flip side, CEO sentiment has been improving. In a survey taken February 23rd to March 6th, shortly after the IEEPA tariffs were struck down by SCOTUS and both before and after the strikes on Iran began, the Business Roundtable reported that its index of CEO economic optimism rose for 1Q26, primarily due to improvements in expectations for CapEx and sales. The improvement in the Business Roundtable survey syncs up with the improvement we've seen in other C-suite surveys for 1Q26 from the Conference Board and Chief Executive Magazine. While it's not clear how the war in Iran impacted this survey's results, it and other C-suite surveys that are out for 1Q26 do at least tell us that corporate sentiment was in a good place at the start of the conflict. Moving on to takeaway number two, echoes of lingering confidence and hints of emerging concerns at last week's RBC Financial Institution Conference. We spent 2 days at the conference last week where we heard from a number of investment banks, regional banks, asset managers, including those focused on alternatives and BDCs. On the broader economy and the consumer, companies generally reported that both were steady and resilient. Bright spots noted included stimulus effects, tax refunds, and deregulation impacts. Corporates on their front foot and optimism among businesses, along with consumers that were still spending. At the same time, companies acknowledged the pressures on lower-end income consumers, with a few references to pressures in the middle, the K-shaped recovery, a pullback on big-ticket items, choppy consumer confidence, tax refunds coming in below expectations, and the unpredictable and volatile macro. On geopolitics, a few comments that stuck out to us included that all eyes were on the Middle East and that the situation was a wild card. Several companies alluded to the question of how long the conflict would go on and how high oil would move, while others noted that their customers had gotten used to dealing with macro uncertainty or noise. On private credit, in a standing room only panel hosted by RBC's BDC analyst Ken Lee, companies emphasized confidence in their software loan portfolios and their belief that there is a disconnect between public perception and underlying fundamentals, among other topics. The idea of a disconnect between headlines and fundamentals was a theme we picked up on in other presentations. Several companies provided numbers that tried to put financial market concerns into context, while several others emphasized that they did not see risk of contagion from or a massive correction of private credit. The issue of transparency and opaqueness in private credit was referred to in several presentations as well. Zooming out, in last week's presentations, we saw echoes of both the solid state of CEO confidence in the Business Roundtable survey, along with hints of the deterioration that was seen in the investor and consumer sentiment surveys, illustrating the delicate moment the U.S. equity market finds itself in today. That's all for now. Thanks for listening, and be sure to reach out to your RBC representative with any questions.
This content is based on information available at the time it was recorded and is for informational purposes only. It is not an offer to buy or sell or a solicitation, and no recommendations are implied. It is outside the scope of this communication to consider whether it is suitable for you and your financial objectives.